How doing? Better than last week? That's a good thing. Everybody doing okay?
Do you really
want to
know?
Sure. Or I wouldn't have asked. Okay?
Because it might take us a couple hours. We don't need to tell you what's going on.
Can we have the abridged version? Can I have a second opinion? So, what did you do last week? I was not here. You had Sunday school, right?
Oh, yeah.
Who taught Sunday school?
Tom.
Tom. And I'm grateful. What did Tom teach on? Oh, don't smile like that. Now you got me interested. I can't remember. Anybody remember what Tom taught on last week? I'll talk to Tom later.
Talk about God.
That's probably prudent for the time that we spend here. Okay, we're going to continue where we left off, but we're going to pray first, and I will entertain any prayer requests you might have. Yes? Anyone else?
How are you doing?
I'm hanging. Last week was difficult. I have to do another month at least of chemo. This is my week that I don't have to take pills, so I'm grateful. We're going to look at a passage of Scripture today that I'm going to have to remember as I go through this thing, because none of us are guaranteed a perfect life because of our sin nature and the world that we live in. Things are going to happen, things that we don't like, okay? Things are going to be difficult. But we have this hope in us, and it's not a I hope so hope. It is a hope within us that, you know, there will be a day when there will be no pain, no cancer, no illness to speak of any kind, because our God has ordained that for those who trust in Him, for those who have been called by Him to get this knowledge in us so that we do have this hope. He's faithful to us who trust Him. Imagine what it would be like to not have this resource, to not have our God at our disposal, to not be able to pray and know that someone is listening and working, not just listening to your suffering, but working so that in the end, He receives all glory and all honor, and you get heaven. You get peace here. I don't know anything else that works that way. Anything. So as much as I could probably sit here with Teresa and talk to you about all my ailments and my grief and my irritable bowels, it could be a lot worse. It could. I should probably start, huh? So I have your sister Beth. Anybody else? You can pray for me.
We're thankful that Mark went to Chicago. We went to Chicago Monday and Tuesday.
For work. At a business show. I haven't done anything for a year. And it was good to get back to some kind of normalcy on that side.
It was a good trip. We didn't have to do any driving.
Which was good as well. They won't let me do that yet. So, I'm thankful for your prayers. Anyone else? Then let's pray. Father God, we praise you and we thank you for who you are, for being yourself, for understanding intimately how we're made, for creating us exactly this way, so that, as I said earlier, you can receive all glory and honor, regardless of our circumstance, regardless of the way we feel physically, regardless. You get the glory for our walk and our desire for everything that we go through, we know has come from your loving hand. So we can deal with it. We can tolerate it. We can actually have impact on those around us. And that's what you made us for. To love you, to enjoy you, to have that countenance about us that is different from those who have no hope. We thank you, Father, for all you are, all you do for us and through us. Father, as we look to your word today, I pray that nothing be taught here today that is contrary to your word or to your will. We want to know you better. We want to know you more. The only way that happens is with us being on our knees in your word and actually talking to you. We shouldn't expect that it would be any other way, because that's what your word tells us. We thank you, Father, for this time together, and ask that you be honored. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Before I was absent last week, we looked at knowing God intimately and knowing that it is our calling, our destiny, our future hope, and our great privilege and blessing, and thus should be our great ambition. Today, if you're taking notes, a study of the attributes of God is the basis for our enjoyment of God and our spiritual growth. And we're going to spend a few minutes talking about enjoyment and growth and the expectation that that should be a part of what we are and who we are as we pursue Him. Don't expect that if we're not pursuing God, that these things will be evident in our life. It's just not the case. It's, you know, it's like trying to cook without the right ingredients. It don't expect it to work. Making a souffle without eggs doesn't work. So why should we expect, if we're not in His Word, if we are not studying it, if we're not walking in it, living it out, actually doing what it says, that it's going to be any different for us? I'm not talking about our position. I'm talking about our enjoyment. And there's a difference. Our position is sure and certain. Nothing's going to change that. You were called by God to be here. That's settled. The sanctification process that we go through, this making us more like Him, that process takes time. It does. I think all of us at some point in time can attest to that. That we want it now, we want to be fully sanctified, and we want to know what that's like. At least I hope that's your desire. Our enjoyment. Let's talk about our enjoyment. Do you enjoy your God? How do you do that? How is it possible for you to enjoy God without a personal relationship, without the kind of relationship you would share with a son or a daughter? That's personal. That's intimate. How is it possible for us to enjoy God without that? Is it possible for us to enjoy God without that? Where do you run? Where do you go first? Yeah. Your knees. Okay? We have this great privilege of prayer, this communication that we have been given. We've been told that when we have a need, we can go before Him. And again, I stress, going before Him entails a little bit more than just going, okay, I'm here. It's pouring out your heart. It's I can only speak from personal experience, so I will share that with you. If my wife and I don't talk, it is not good. It is not good. And I know immediately when there's an issue that is keeping us from good communication. This is the example I have. Can you imagine being so ignorant, knowing fully what it's like here? How much more it is between you personally and your Father. Some of the things that we're going to talk about today can be misconstrued if not taken in context. And I urge you to ask questions. I'm not going to know all the answers, but I'm going to urge you to ask questions. Because the reality of our position, again, is sure and certain. But this thing, this sanctification process, can really, if you're not stayed in the Word, can really make you question. Can make you doubt. He's given us His Word for a purpose. So we're going to talk about that. We talked about enjoyment, natural outgrowth of enjoying our God is our growth. Okay, I want you to think for a moment what it was like when you first believed, when you first made a conscious commitment to Jesus Christ. Okay, remember that day, that week, that month, that year? I really hesitate to get too dogmatic about, you know, like going forward, kneeling, and doing that thing outwardly when sometimes you do that and it's not a conversion of the heart. It's not an actual thing, you know. You know. It takes growing time. The position is sure as it was when Christ said, "It is finished." Okay? If you believe that, that's done. Now we work on walking in a manner that's worthy. And the only way you know that is to know His character. Is to know Him that well that when anything comes up, you know how your God is going to react. You know what He expects. Enjoyment leads to spiritual growth. A personal relationship with God requires that we know Him personally as a person. When Christ came to this earth, He came to us as a man so that we could understand Him. We could see Him. We could touch Him. We watched Him. We read the chronicles of His life, at least some of His life, what is recorded for us in His Word. How did Jesus do that? You've seen the bands that say, "What would Jesus do?" I would almost guarantee that most of us know what Jesus would do if we've been a Christian any length of time. The rub here comes from actually wanting to do it or not, and making that choice and that determination. To know him personally as a person, without being blasphemous. We're going to pick on Helen because I haven't seen her for a while. And we're going to make Helen God for a minute. Just for a minute, okay? Without being blasphemous, I'm not going down that road. But you can see her. You can touch her. You can see her smile. You can see her react. You can see all of those things that make Helen Helen. Right? When Helen speaks, you can hear her. Audibly, you can understand what she's saying. You know Helen because of the way she speaks, because of the way she reacts, because of the way she is. We are supposed to know God like that, like a person. He is almighty, he is sovereign, he is all the things that make him up. But he is intimate with us. He made you. When you look in the mirror, you're looking at a creation of God. He made you just like you are for a purpose. And that purpose is unique to each of us. Some people have greater influence by the way they speak and what they do than others. Others may do things that you will never see. And the impact and the outcome is just as great being ordained by God as if Helen and I went to lunch. That's how personal our God is. And if we don't know him as a person, if we don't put flesh on God in the person of Jesus Christ, we're missing something. What did Jesus say? I mean, we spent several months looking at the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, and going through each of them in depth, I would think. You can disagree with me if you like. But within that three chapters of Scripture, we get an insight to his character. People say this, Jesus said, but I say this. So you get an idea of his character and how he thinks, being God in the flesh. Having pain, being sorrowful, going through all the things that we go through, so he is able to understand what it's like to be one of us. Okay. We're going to start with Helen. I want you to look up 2 Peter 1:4. Becky, I would like you to look up Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13 and thereabouts. Teresa, I would like you to look up 1 John 3:2. Think about knowing God as a person as we look at these passages of Scripture. Helen, if you would read 2 Peter 1:4. Did you hear what she said? the last portion of that verse, that you would share in his divine nature. And let's ruminate on that a little bit. Let's marinate that around for a second. Sharing in his divine nature. What is his divine nature? I mean, it's like saying, you know, when was the War of 1812? It's knowing him. Okay? What do we know of his nature? You know this, and you can speak. What do you know of God's nature?
He's loving.
Okay.
He's faithful.
Do y'all hear that? You're going to have to speak up just like you're yelling at me. Okay? Just project.
So he's holy, he's loving, faithful.
Yep.
He is.
He does not waver. That's a big deal. What about the rest of you? He loves us no matter what. Think about that for a minute. Think about last week and the week before that and the week before that and all those places where you tripped, where you erred, where you sinned. Loving you no matter what. There's nothing you can do that he doesn't know about before you do it. His nature, divine nature, holy nature, perfect nature. We can be partakers of that. That's what his word says. We can have a piece of that. You believe that? That you can have a piece of that? Or do you run around thinking, no. He's up there waiting for me to trip up so that he can punish me. Because that's what the enemy would like you to think. And I'm here to tell you that that's not our God. That's not our God. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. It's all you, whenever you're ready.
It's all me. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ.
Okay. Now, you just read it and you just heard it. Can you put that in your own words? Because I'm like this. I have to ask myself, what did he just say? I do. I still do. I've been a Christian 30 years. And I still, when I read a passage of scripture that, this is NASB, so I'm going to read just a piece of it here. We have become a part of the church, the body of Christ, which is growing up to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Measure, stature, fullness. Put that in your own words. If you were trying to explain to somebody what the church is like, what the body of Christ is like, we have an example here written down for us. But if you look at someone who has no clue of who God is or what the church is about, and there are a lot of Christians that really have struggles with, you know, this being the church, this physical building, and that's not what it is. You are the church. Put in your own words this: we have become a part of the church. We. Who's he talking to? He's talking to those who believe, who have made that conscious commitment to follow Christ. Part of the church, the body of Christ, which is growing up not might, which is growing up to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. I want your brains to hurt here a little bit. I want you to think about what has just been said, because it brings for me a great security, knowing it's me he's talking to, because I've made that commitment. I don't have to doubt or waver about that. I may do stupid things, but I know where my position lies. And it says, I don't want to say anymore. I want you to tell me. This is school. This is interaction time. Yeah, you see? Really? You think so? If God is sovereign, then what you speak is for the edification of those around you. Because if you think you might have the wrong answer, I will guarantee you that there are at least half of the people here that think the same way. There are no wrong answers. There is only... which is growing up to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. That's where I want to focus our attention, because I have to read that several times. I have to run it around.
I think every time you read the Bible, you learn something more.
Okay, and that's, I guess, where I'm trying to expand here.
Every time I can read something again and again, and it always opens my eyes to something new.
And that's the way it should be. It should be. We have become a part of the body of Christ, the church. Okay? Okay? Yes. That's all right. How tall are you?
I'm 5'2", but my driver's license is 5'3".
Really? Okay. How tall are you, Joe?
Let's see, 5'9.5".
You can quantify exactly how tall you are. Okay, so you know how tall you are. I'm not going to ask you how wide you are. I'm not going to do it. Not going to do it. I'm not going to say, no, I'm not going to go there. Good question. Did you hear that?
No.
Did you hear what? You're going to have to speak up louder. Like you're yelling at your son. Well, he'll come back to you. Okay?
I think Christ measures Christ. It's when we get there. The fullness is in him.
Okay?
Yeah.
When we talk about fullness, what are we talking about? Filling of the Holy Spirit. Fullness. Okay. Yeah. Complete. Okay. Okay. We are partakers of His divine nature. Have you? You all know somebody. If you don't, come see me later. If you all know somebody that you like to be around. I mean, when you're around them, you're comfortable. You don't have to worry about being judged. You don't have to worry about being, you know, having your flaws exposed. You're there, and it's comfortable. Okay, do you know somebody like that? At least one person.
Yeah.
And hopefully not just your spouse, but somebody that you're comfortable with. Think about that. Everybody know somebody like that? Everybody, you know somebody like that? You don't. See, we have to work on Gary hard. Really, really hard, because he doesn't know anybody like that. He knows his wife, you know. Yeah, don't. You'll get in more trouble. In 2 minutes that you can dig yourself out of. Comfortable. Do you fear God? You do. Do you fear God? I have a yes. I have a very honest person saying yes. Sometimes?
It's a yes and a no.
It's a yes and a no? There's a comfort in knowing our God. There is. It's. I don't want to say it's comfortable, but there is a comfort in knowing our God. There is. There that peace which surpasses understanding, that's unique. It's hard to put words on it. I'm asking you to do it because I have difficulty sometimes. But there is a uniqueness in the fellowship that we have with our Father, our Daddy, okay, that is unique to virtually any other relationship that we have. Oh, absolutely. I'm picking, but everything should be in context. Why don't you read it since you're there? I'll give you another one, I promise.
For the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith.
Okay, all. Now, yeah, we got time for a little bit of it anyway. Till we all attain to the unity of the faith. What is your responsibility there? Yeah, okay. Helen should be working with Becky, and Nancy should be working with Joe, and Gary should be working with everybody because he needs it, okay? And I'm picking on you. You know, you're not islands here. You are not. And I think sometimes the enemy would like us to think we are islands. We got to do it all by ourselves. And I'm going to tell you, if I haven't learned anything over the past couple of years, there is no possible way, unequivocally, that you can be an island and be in the body of Christ. You're not thrown out there to the wolves. Your Heavenly Father cares for you. If you don't think He is, let's do a gut check. Okay, where are you? What are you doing to pursue your Father? What has He given you? And what is your responsibility in this? My responsibility is to love you the same way I've been loved by God. That's what the Scripture says. And some of you are easier to love than others. And I'll guarantee you, I'm not as easy to love. Period. Okay? I know me intimately. And there are days, yesterday was one of them, I'm not very lovable. And the saint that's sitting here in the front row, oh, you are a saint. No, so is she, and so is he, and so that's not the holier-than-thou image we get. I'm calling you a saint because that's what we are. And it's not of our own doing. It's not of our own doing. I want, who's got 1 John 3:2? You do. So we're back to you. Read it whenever you got it, nice and loud. That do anything for you?
Why don't they just say it? Why do they have to throw all these other words in there?
You know, this is the way it was breathed. You're saying you're having some difficulty understanding. And that's good, you know. Gary, you were an engineer, right? Okay, you are an engineer. Don't want to assume anything. You are an engineer, okay? There are other things, I'm sure, and I'm probably picking on the wrong guy here because guy I'm sure knows everything. But there are areas of life that you struggle in, I'm sure, that you're not as confident in as you might be in your chosen profession. Agreed? I won't get too particular. We all have those things that make us quiver and doubt and just check ourselves. We just did 1 John.
Right.
I want to do a little more in 1 John chapter 3. And I'm just going to start at 3 and go through. We'll read above and beyond, because just picking one verse out just doesn't give it the fullness. There's a good word. It doesn't give us the fullness of what he is trying to explain. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us. Measure how great he loves you for a moment. That we would be called his children. And such we are. That's an affirming statement. For this reason, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet as what we will be. You're not fully glorified here on this planet. You can only imagine, based on what you know in Scripture, what it's going to be like to be perfect, to be holy, just as your Father is holy. You can only imagine. We know that when he appears, that point in time when he said he would return, that we will be like him. What is he like? Yeah. We cast off the mortal and put on immortality. The concept, because this is all we've known. I think, though, we are capable of understanding what it's like. Even if we only get glimpses of it, I think we're capable, or God wouldn't have written it down for us. He's not somebody that's going to hide things from you. He's written it down so you can go back and look at it. And when you look at it a second and a third and a fourth time, you get more. I don't know too many novels written by men that you can do that. You might catch a phrase or two here and there, but it's not like this. 30 plus years, I've been a Christian. God got a hold of me when I was 18 years old, and I didn't want any part of it. I didn't. It wasn't some magical lightning strike. It took time. It did. That understanding what I was saved for and what I was saved from took time. But I pursued it. I did. I had a desire to understand what it was. And I was a student for a period of time. I spent a lot of time in the Word, because I figured that the author would know a little bit more than my subjectional thought, my guessing. We know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is. No fluff. True. It's like, you know, when you're comfortable around your house and you're wearing, you know, fluffy, sloppy clothes. Now, most of us don't wear suits at home. Is that it? Okay. Except for Gary. Gary wears suits at home. We get comfortable. I've said it several times. There is a comfort level in understanding and knowing our God. That's why this pursuit is so important. Because if you don't know how comfortable you can be, you will always speculate about how close you can be with that individual. You know people that you can be comfortable around. You know that. How much more do you think that relationship will be with your Father? Continuing, he says, and everyone who has this hope fixed on him, big H, purifies himself just as he, big H, is pure. You can't miss verse 3. Everyone who has this hope fixed on Jesus. Where's your hope fixed? Where, that's a question. Where is your hope fixed? If it's fixed in the stock market, you're in trouble. Okay? If it's fixed on oil prices, you're in trouble. If it's fixed on your health, you're in trouble. Where is your hope fixed? That's a question. Where is your hope fixed? Thank you. You got to say it sometimes. You just have to... There's no wrong answers here. We've covered that. Where is your hope fixed?
Jesus.
Where is your hope fixed?
Jesus.
Why? He is. He is faithful. And we probably won't get to that today. Maybe I can. Yeah. Listen carefully. I'll give you the scriptures later. The attributes of God, which is what we've been talking about, his character, foundational to our faith and our hope. Listen carefully. Knowing the character of God assures us that he can do all that he purposes and promises to do. You want me to read that again? Do you get it? Knowing the character of God assures us, there is assurance here, that everything he said assures that he can do all that he purposes and promises to do. Faith in God is trusting in God, and his attributes are the basis for that trust. He is able and willing to do all that he has promised. Listen to the word here. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. If you underline your Bibles, that's a good one to underline or highlight. He who promised is faithful. Hebrews 11:6. And without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, comma, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. This is about understanding who our God is. This is about understanding his attributes. First Peter 4:19. Therefore, let those also who suffer according to the will of God entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. That's the one I underline in my Bible. That's the one I have to go back to time and time again, because this doesn't make sense. Cancer doesn't make sense. It doesn't. And we have it. Okay? Some scientists say that everybody has some of it in their body. It's just a matter of time. Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God. None of this is outside the scope of God's sovereignty. My cancer, your diseases, your illnesses are not outside the scope of God's sovereignty. Who suffer according to the will of God, entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. This is a good one. I'm sorry, the reference there is 1 Peter 4:19. Lastly, last one I'm going to give you, is one that's very familiar to us. And we can misconstrue its meaning. Okay? It's 1 John 1:9. How many know that one by heart? Okay? What does it say? Wonderful. What if we don't confess? It's okay? Why? Okay. You don't know how much wisdom you just spoke. Your position is sure and certain. It's done. It's finished. It's cared for. You're going to heaven. You got the ticket. You're on the train. But while you're on the train, you see somebody that you don't like, or somebody who stinks, or you're still on the train. Okay? I don't know how much clearer I can make this. We're all going to see one another on the other side, and we're all going to be perfect in our mind, our thought. Everything's going to be a whole lot clearer than it was right now. And you know what? We may figure out that Gary was right all this time. Maybe, maybe not. And I love to pick on you because you're easy. We may figure out, you fill in the blank, was right when I was wrong. And I was just too full of myself to ask forgiveness of my brother or my sister. If is a conditional statement. In some versions you will find the word since, but not many. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's positional in the fact that it is about the relationship we have. Who are we talking about here? We're talking about the character of God. His written word says, if we confess our sins, if we go to that person that we have wronged, and we know we've wronged them, sometimes we're too stiff-necked to do anything about it, at least right away, until God has to, you know, pry those chains off of our heart. If we confess our sins, if we agree that the wrong is wrong, whether it's our wrong in regard to how we think about God, or our wrong in regard to how we interact with one another as a body. What does this say? If we confess those sins, if we agree that that's wrong, He is faithful and just to what?
Forgive.
To forgive us.
Cleanse.
And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's a great passage of Scripture, but you got to understand the context it's written in. It's not here to say, okay, if you harbor that, something bad's going to happen to you. It is a means of reconciling the relationship. Because that's what God wants. He wants that intimacy with you. He wants that intimacy that doesn't come from a casual understanding of who He is, but a deep, intimate, personal understanding of who He is. I can't make this stuff up. You can read it. You can verify that what I'm saying is true. You can bear it out in your heart and in your mind that what I'm saying is true. These are not my words. This is God Almighty saying, you want a relationship with me? You want to understand who I am? Read this. Did you get all those passages of Scripture that I offered you? They were, I'll reiterate them, because it's a big deal. The basis for your faith and your hope lie, not exhaustively, but in these four verses, it gives you a good glimpse. It is Hebrews 10, 23. In fact, if you start at the beginning of Hebrews 10 and you work your way through Hebrews 12, really great passage of Scripture, and understand He's talking to believers. Hebrews 10:23, Hebrews 11:6, 1 Peter 4:19, and 1 John 1:9. Dwell on those things this week. Don't listen to the world. The wedding's over. We don't have to worry about the royals anymore. We don't have to go out and buy hats. I might, just for the sake of covering up things. But the reality of it is, these things are what are true. These things are what we need to dwell on. And I've gone well over my time. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the spirit you've put in each of us that bears witness that these things are true. Father, I ask your assistance in helping us walk in these things that we've talked about today. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit in us. We thank you for the work of your Son, who without him, none of this would be possible. We just give you all honor and all glory, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.